On this Friday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So I want to start with the rainfall that came up in maybe as many places as not. So what have we gotten in the last few weeks?
Well, last week when we talked, it was all about the severe weather rolling through the northern plains and extreme heat that we had here. And parts of the northern plains from both North and South Dakota through Minnesota, Wisconsin, we saw a lot of damaging winds a week ago today, but also saw incredible rainfall amounts. So very, very wet there. Meanwhile, we were kind of sitting here high and dry, although the humidity was quite high. So I wouldn't say we were dry, but in terms of precipitation, we didn't get much. There's only really been, and through parts of central Illinois and even parts of western Iowa, just a few decent rainfall events where some folks have gotten some localized heavier rainfall, honestly, since about the 6th of July. So when I look back over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I see a pretty sizable chunk of Illinois and also part of Indiana and a part of Iowa that did not get much rain to talk about at all. In fact, some places are sitting somewhere around 10 to 40% of normal rainfall. And it's a crucial time period to get it. Even the light rain showers that went yesterday through parts of Iowa, then into the early morning hours into Iowa, these were widely scattered and relatively light. So this wasn't the solution. This isn't the nice 1-inch rainfall event that they need. And certainly we're going to have to wait around here a little bit longer to get some rainfall. Temperatures are warming in the next couple of days, but I'm watching a front that's going to slide through on Monday into Tuesday, and that's going to bring us a chance of getting some rain through here. So that'll be nice and at least put an end to the brief warm-up we will be seeing on Saturday and Sunday. Not getting into any dangerous temperatures again, but it will warm up. So yeah, this recent time period and the precipitation we've gotten, if you ask me what it's done, it's kind of fragmented in, anything that we thought we knew about where there might be a garden spot across the Corn Belt. And I just don't like to see the fact that some very productive ground in Illinois and Iowa and Indiana has really missed out on this rainfall.
Anything in week two of the forecast?
Well, that's the tricky part. The pattern is setting up such that we've got this broader ridge that's spreading out west. So extreme heat in California right now and a lot of thunderstorms over the NML West. And so anything that we're going to get is going to have to roll around that ridge, which means it's going to come in from the northwest. And with that Canadian storm track, again, we're going to be relying on frontal passages, although they're very weak and they often stall out and they're nowhere anything like what we typically get in spring and fall and winter. So week two precipitation forecast, every model run tells us some new story that they keep bouncing around with it. Overall, though, this is the kind of pattern where we only have maybe 3 days of decent guidance in precipitation. So we're going to have to watch it carefully because model-to-model run on the on week two right now is all over the place. So it's something that the early model runs called it for a very wet week, and then all of a sudden the morning model runs came in, and now they're dry for next week. And so we're going to continue to see that while this pattern is set up the way it is.
Well, I'm going to go searching. If I can't get any rainfall out of the westerlies, what about out of the Atlantic Ocean? I know we're in that August time frame. We talk about hurricanes, and I'm thinking more about rainfall that would come off the western coast of Africa, kind of like a bowling alley heads for the Gulf of Mexico or somewhere. And sometimes we get rainfall off the backside of those.
Yeah, we can. And so we're, of course, talking about tropical season. And right about now, you're right. Beginning of August is when the distribution of tropical cyclones historically really begins to rise. And we reach a peak around September 10th. So we're watching a few things right now. Not much going on in the Caribbean or in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, there's a lot of thunderstorms down there, but we're not expecting them to organize into a low pressure system, which could become a tropical depression or tropical storm. But the easterly waves, these are think of them as like bundles of thunderstorms coming off of the west coast of Africa. They're cranking up right now. And the upper levels of the atmosphere are becoming more conducive to their development. So we're watching the deep in the upper levels of the atmosphere basically taking the lid off so we can get some of these storms to roll. But they're right now sucking in a lot of really dry and dusty air. So it's going to take quite a bit for them to get going. So I would just tell you this. Right now, I will be focusing pretty heavily every single day when I forecast just to see the evolution of these storms as they go across the open Atlantic, because as you said, August is the time of year where we start to see that stuff really moving, and it could become a problem as we just get more closer to the climatological peak of hurricane season.
Well, let's switch sides and the Pacific Ocean, El Nino.
Yeah, so El Nino, like we talked about the last couple weeks, has kind of faded. So we've lost our strong, really what we call westerly wind bursts, and they're now back to normal trade winds, even at times faster than normal trade winds. So that tells us that the influence of El Nino is pretty much gone. It's more La Nina-like, to say the least. What's interesting to see is how this is playing out with very, very warm waters that are tucked away in the Gulf of Alaska. So off of British Columbia, there off the western coast of North America, there's just a large blob of very warm water. And the interplay between that and what's going on in the equatorial Pacific means that the longer term forecast is favoring more troughing over the Great Lakes, over the Hudson Bay. Now, translate all that just to make it simple. It takes the major risk of heat, makes it less probable as we progress through the month of August through the Eastern Corn Belt. That's what that Pacific warm blob might do for us. So I'll be watching it carefully. Of course, I don't have a ton of confidence. It's just one feature to watch, but it's one I'll be watching carefully.
On the heat note, it's hot, hot, hot in Paris today.
Yeah, they were scorched. I think yesterday they broke not just, you know, individual day records, but all-time records in parts of France, the Netherlands, Belgium, and parts of Germany. So this is setting new all-time records for any day of the year for some of those places. But the heat is breaking finally today for some of those folks. And meanwhile, don't forget, while that big ridge sat over Western Europe, Ukraine, the Russian Wheat Belt, Kazakhstan, Turkey, those places had cooler than average weather, and they had some rainfall. So that was favorable for those areas while they're absolutely baking and burning. We had a lot of fires going in France as well during this. So that's taken a major hit on ag in Western Europe right now.
Hey, one final thing. Have you seen any views of the globe from the satellites and what they show as far as vegetation across the planet?
Yeah. So one of the things we look at is called NDVI, the Normalized Difference Vegetation Index. I think that's something a lot of farmers are familiar with. And what we like to do is we like to compare the current year to the previous year. It's a good reference point. And when I look across the globe, okay, there's a few areas that jump out at me. Of course, the Corn Belt does. It doesn't look anything like it did a year ago. Much, much lower vegetative health. If you look at an index of that, it's much lower. But if you go over to parts of India and China, some of China's major growing regions and also the whole of India is not looking as good as it did a year ago either. Now, we are expecting some bigger rains in China starting mid to end of next week. That'll go through in and around Beijing, both north and south of there, which is where they grow a lot of crop. And the Indian monsoon is once again cranking up, but it's been pretty interesting to say that we've actually not had any major tropical cyclone development in the tropical Western Pacific yet, and that is very rare. So we've got some interesting things going on globally, and that NDVI image helps us see how the vegetation responds to it.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions.